AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You're welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Once again, I've managed to escape the confines of our studio. We're coming from Cork today, if you're just joining us. We have been in the Republic of Work. On the South Mall. We are now back in the beautiful surrounds of Ballymaloe. We're in one of the dining rooms, one of the living rooms rather, towards the back of the main house. What a beautiful house, beautiful room, beautiful surroundings. And somebody who knows it all intimately, Rachel Allen, is with me. Rachel, it's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Kieran.
So listen, massive weekend ahead for you guys, kicking off tomorrow. What's happening?
Yeah, well, first of all, we're all checking out the weather forecast every hour.
Yeah, you're like farmers.
Yes, exactly. It's the inaugural Ballymaloe Festival of Food. And it's basically celebrating 60 years that Ballymaloe has been open, since Myrtle opened a restaurant in literally her front room. And, you know, what an extraordinary pioneering woman she was. That was not the done thing then. It's hardly now as well. But she was bringing up her six children and just loved to cook, but only learned to cook actually when she came back from her honeymoon. So hadn't ever been formally taught, but just has an amazing appreciation, really, I think, for the produce from the sea, the fish from the sea, which is just a couple of miles from here, and all the vegetables and the dairy, the meat here from the farm. So that was really where it all started. She put an ad in a local paper in the Farmer's Journal and said, come and dine in a country house. And then the phone number, which is probably about three or four numbers at that time, 60 years ago, and three or four numbers long, as in. And then people started to come. And then, but because it was particularly then quite far out of Cork City, with the roads not being so good, it was her husband, Ivan, the late Ivan Allen, who suggested putting a couple of bedrooms up that people could come and stay in. And so it just went from really very small like that, a couple of tables and Myrtle herself in the kitchen cooking. A couple of local ladies then started to come on and help her and to help serve, and just more and more bedrooms. And now there are, 33, 34 bedrooms. And
yeah. It is
a bigger operation, yeah. But still just that lovely country house feel that
yeah.
I love.
Yeah, yeah, and you certainly get that as you come up the drive, A lot of the, I wouldn't say the industrial buildings, that's maybe the wrong way to describe it, but the workaday buildings are to the back of the house, and you've got this beautiful vista that opens up in front of you, and all the kind of the parkland around it. It really is one of the more beautiful spots in the country, particularly when the sun is shining on a day like today.
I know, it's been really lovely today. Fingers crossed for tomorrow and the rest of the weekend.
So this is the first time that you've had other kind of festivals.
Yes.
But this is the first of this particular iteration.
Yes. So every November we have a craft fair that goes on, and that's really, really great. You see, there's a lot of space. So I'm pointing this way. I'm pointing over towards the west.
Yes, the west. of
the farm. And that's where all the farm buildings are, because it's a 400-acre farm. So there are lots of farm buildings out towards the back, as you say, you can't see necessarily from when you're driving in. So lots of those, there's the grain store that's now converted into a great concert and event space. That's where we're going to be having demonstrations on, but also farm buildings, the big shed and all sorts of that we're going to be using this weekend. But we have, as you say, we have had other festivals. We had a festival for a few years called the Lit Fest, the Ballymaloe Literary Festival, the Lit Fest. And that was really great. Again, lots of cookery people giving talks, demonstrations, workshops coming in. So this one, the Ballymaloe Festival of Food, is a combination of, so they're going to be Oh my goodness, just dozens and dozens of stands selling local Irish crafts, baskets, boards, ceramics, but, you know, clothes, some secondhand clothes. So great mixture with the stands. Mm-hmm. And then delicious things to eat and drink, either to take away with you, you know, food, produce and drink produce, or to eat and drink here. And then as well as the cookery demonstrations. So I'm going to be giving a cookery demonstration on Sunday with Dorina, my mother-in-law, at 4 p.m. on Sunday. And I'm going to be hosting quite a few as well over the weekend. Marco Pierre White, Matt Tebbett, Auntie Moll Thompson, got Georgina Hayden, Clodagh McKenna, lots and lots.
Great
and
lots.
So great lineup. So I suppose the lovely thing is that once you get your ticket at the gate, or if you've pre-booked it on the website, buymeliagrainstore.com, you can just come in and then you can come to any of the demonstrations or talks. And there are pop-up dinners as well, pop-up lunches and dinners happening. So for those, you need to book the ticket specially, but you can see which ones are on there. It's going to be great.
There's a kind of a theme, isn't there, when you think of the beginnings of the place 60 years ago as just this kind of dining room experience in the country house, and then the addition of rooms, and then the continual addition of more and more rooms, and you're up into the 30s, the opening of the cookery school in the 80s, there's literary festivals, there's this fest. It's a I guess it's the same in any business. There's the need to kind of to adhere and be respectful to all the things that have made you successful so far, but to continue to be successful, there's a period of continuous reinvention, isn't there?
Do you know, that's really well put, actually. Yeah, it is. Because, as you say, to be respectful to the legacy of Myrtle Allen and what she created in the very beginning. That's so true. And, I mean, not just to market the, you know, hell out of it or whatever. Yeah, it is. It's so true. So hopefully people will find, I mean, and people do find when they come to festivals here, that the food is delicious, that the ethos is lovely. There's a great, actually, recycling system. We're trying to stay true to the ethos here, which is, I think, appreciating what is around us, being kind to it, being respectful. And also there's the old Quaker ethos as well, that Myrtle and Ivan were, and lots of their family still are now, the Allens, and I'm just a blue in, you see.
I mean, so people will know kind of your story to a degree, having come down here to the cookery school as a student and meeting your now husband. If that hadn't happened, do you imagine where your life might be? Like, to what extent you might still be working in this industry, but elsewhere? I mean, I put it this way. What was your vision before you met him and before this became the reality?
So I came down when I was 18, 34 years ago from Dublin.
18 to do don't really have a vision, do they?
No. But I did think, great, I'll come down, I'll do the cookery course. I was thinking I'd work in ski chalets, do a couple of ski seasons because I love skiing when I get to go. And then I was thinking I'll travel the world. And then I thought maybe try and do drama studies in Trinity or shoe design in London. So I was thinking I'd be living in London or New York, acting or designing shoes. Here I am, looking out at the pigs. I'm still such an actress, such a diva. No, I'm joking.
Sorry, you mentioned the pigs. Actually, I should have asked, because when you brought them up, the kids, Clarkson's Farm, lots of people will be watching Clarkson's Farm, and it's so brilliant, actually, for people who haven't. And they'd have spotted Luca appearing on it.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and I just thought, hold on a minute, go back there. Making nettle soup. How did that happen?
That's so funny. He's been there for a couple of years. And so Lisa, who's Jeremy's partner.
Yes. She's great.
She's super. She's gorgeous.
She softens him so much. She's been brilliant for
she
him.
She is brilliant. And she's so funny.
Yeah.
And so Lisa's family, the Hogans, Sarah did the cookie course down here years ago. And I went to school with all of them.
Okay.
Avna as well, Tamsin. And so they were all in Alex with me and my sister. So my family knew them. My parents knew them. But actually, funnily enough, so did Isaac's. So they've been... Isaac's family isn't. So they've been coming down here for years as well. Lisa's family.
Yeah.
So it was just... So then Luca contacted Lisa, applied for a job over there. And He's having a great time. Yeah, I think there was a bit of a thing when he said, when Jeremy asked him if he had EHO clearance or something to cook in the thing, and he just went, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a running theme on the show, yeah. Is that I think Jeremy kind of plows ahead with things.
But he does, Luca did has, of course, anyway, but yeah. So anyway, yeah, and he's racing and trying to fit everything in.
Yeah,
but
how's that going, the racing?
Good. Yeah. Just whenever he can get sponsorship, you know, it's all great. He's in a few weeks racing again. So just looking for just all the time more trials. So, you know, a company will come to you or a team will come to you and say, will you test with us and see how you go? And so he's doing
a tough
good.
Industry, I'd say. Isn't
Very
it?
Tough.
Is it tough as a pair to be watching someone trying to crack a tough industry?
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, it's tough on your heart, your head, your everything. And your mother's just, I'm ridiculous watching him racing or Josh doing martial arts or yeah. I'm just, I'm pathetic.
Do you go and watch?
Yes, I go. So Isaac watches every single race. Okay. I sometimes walk around the track or sometimes, yeah. You just go, oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's ridiculous. But
to a degree that you have tried to nudge him in other directions?
I wish I had. You know.
You thought this would be a phase. And
exactly. I thought it would be a phase.
Be
him going off to Watercross Hill karting, you know, when he was little. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, I love watching Formula One. So if I knew that everything would be okay by the end of the race, then I'd really enjoy the race part and the you know, his tactics and all that. But unfortunately, you know, I'm so emotional. I'm ridiculous.
Mm. And they're Josh is thriving as well, because I know he had issues and everything, and people beware of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been in Thailand for the last 2.5 months doing martial arts. And there's a great area over there where you do lots of martial arts training, and he loves that. I mean, that's another thing I can't watch anyway. But so he's good. I think he'd love to go back again.
Back to Thailand.
To Thailand again to do more training. Yeah.
And is it like, I know maybe this is a question more for him than you, but is that out of an aspiration to make it a martial arts, or is it just the process of actually training? And, you know, is that where he derives kind of
He just loves it. And I think if it's just for the moment, I'm hoping it won't go on for too much longer.
Yeah, yeah. You're hoping there's going to be another phase.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like yoga.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lovely yoga studio as well there, Josh.
I know. I was thinking I might get into a bit of meditation or yoga. Not just yet.
So anyway, listen, it's all going well here. And I know we heard a little bit earlier as well in more detail about what's happening at the weekend and about the kind of the continuing business and where it has come from and how it has evolved. And you're obviously enjoying it still as much as ever.
I love it. So I'm based mainly at the cookery school.
Yeah.
I'm based there, you know, that's just about, I'd say I'm pointing again this way, about 3 miles down
where
the road.
West, northwest.
Yes. And so we are on week 4 of the 12-week cookery course. So I'm teaching all the time and I love it.
Is that the real, still in your mind, I mean, if people ask you what you do, it's not the media stuff, the books, the Today Show, or it's the cook, it's this. This is still the bread and butter,
the teaching.
It?
Yeah. I love it. Actually, I'm going on the Today Show tomorrow, but which I love as well, and that's all great. But I'm always at the root of everything. When I'm doing television or whatever it is, I'm always thinking about trying to impart some little skills or tricks or knowledge or something, because it's the teaching that I love. And at the cookery school, I just love the interaction with the students, that dynamic, seeing them all learning new skills, taking their first cake or loaf of bread or out of the oven or filleting their first fish. I love it.
And beyond the skill, is there an art to it as well, in the sense that when, you know, there's 10 students in the room in front of you, that you kind of very early realise this person has a real skill here as opposed to this person? Kind of
well,
in my direction.
But you know what? You know what? But those skills can all be so different. Sometimes someone will just style something so beautifully.
Yeah.
But they'll find the cooking part that more of a challenge, or they just take longer to pick up some skills, who knows? Or some people find, oh no, it's baking that I'm just naturally good at, or it's savory cooking, or and then some people will love all three. But it is really interesting. By the end of the 12 weeks of the 3-month cooking course, you do see people. I mean, there's, like, for instance, there's one girl at the moment, she's been in tech for a few years, young lady, I should say, and she's been in tech in the States for, say, the last about 5-7 years. Mm. And she's come to do the course, and she thought she was just doing it for just a break for 3 months. And she's now saying, oh my goodness, she's saying the sourdough baking, she says, is just, I'm loving it. And I'm really wondering, can I make a business out of it?
Yes.
You know, it's so interesting
when
people come here with maybe one thing in mind and then realize, oh, or I love the social media side of it, or the photography styling, or want to open a restaurant. Some people aspire to go into the Michelin style of cooking, or some people aspire to say,
I'm sure people come and you lose contact with them. It'd be fascinating to know how many businesses exist out there around the world
as a
consequence of the 12 weeks here.
Wouldn't it? Well, I mean, Dorina and Rory, Dorina, since she started, it has just been so unbelievably inspiring. Yeah. I mean, she can't not inspire you. If she was sitting here right now, she'd be telling you, she'd be asking you why you don't have chickens, or maybe you do have chickens. Or
no, we don't have chickens. We have a dog who'd eat the chickens. Yeah. that's the problem. He ate my hydrangeas yesterday.
Are you serious?
I got up yesterday morning and half the hydrangeas gone.
What kind of dog is this?
A golden retriever.
Now, oh, I love golden retrievers.
Anyway, I got it. So at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, I was lugging hydrangeas out around to the periphery.
I don't think they're edible.
Them. Oh, well, they're going to come out. I don't know in what shape or form they'll reappear, so
they're gone. The heads off. So, yes, Dorina is just so inspiring. Rory is fantastic. Rory O'Connell is just super creative, talented, inspiring, always all the time. So, yeah, it's a lovely place to be. I did used to work in the kitchen here after I did the course when I was 18 at the restaurant. And I loved chefing, but actually it's more the teaching, learning atmosphere that I love in the cookery school.
Well, listen, those courses continue. You're halfway through. Is it halfway through a 12-week
course
at the moment?
Week four. Just coming up to the end of week four.
Through the 12-week. And this weekend, starting tomorrow, is the festival. We wish you the best of luck with it, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Kieran. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.